he will go. We spend a lot of time at Napa buying parts for the business.
Mm.
And he will find some old guy looking at light bulbs and walk straight up to him and be like, "What are you working on today?"
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host, and we're glad that you've joined us today. Today, I'm joining a friend who I think I told him right before we hit the record button, and he accepted and signed away basically all of his privacy rights. And he said yes, so that's good. He wins an award, and it is the coolest background on a Zoom call that I've had yet. I'm going to welcome Mr. Logan Price. Logan, welcome.
Thank you, Jack. And is it too early to say I'd like to thank the Academy, or is that not a good time?
You can. I'm pretty sure I got kicked out of that. So, yes, the Academy, you're going to win. It's going to be good. So, I can paint the picture of what I'm looking at, aside from a handsome gentleman here who I've known for a number of years. He right above his head has like a Jeep Cherokee like hanging. And I was pretty sure it was a fake Zoom background, but I know him too well. And this is his shop. This man is getting in to cars and making things happen. So well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
So just a quick backstory, background, how we know each other, how we got connected, and, you know, how we ended up here. But so my wife and I lived in Colorado a number of years ago. We were there for a number of years, about 8 years we lived there. And we had a great group, a community that we had the opportunity and blessing to have built. And Logan and his wife, we were all in the community together. So we had small group together. We had gone to church together. We had a lot of mountain trips before kids together.
Yes. Those were they the glory days? But I don't know.
Yeah.
The kids are glorious too, but.
Yeah. It's different kind of glory, perhaps. Yeah. Some snowshoeing. And Logan was the guy that was like always there, that if something was about to go down, you're like, I want Logan there. Because he's the MacGyver of all things. And it's been a while since we've like kept in touch, because we moved away 4 years ago from Colorado, right when we were having our second baby, and you were having your first baby right at that time. And then it's just this last few years has been like a crazy blur. But we've, you know, reconnected and here he is. And I guess I'll throw it out to you. Like, I want to hear your story. We're going to dive into it and the cool things that you've taken away. I didn't realize you were listening to the podcast, and then you had hit me up and you were one of the ones that were shaming me about, you know, not continuing it.
Oh man, there was no shame involved. I was just hoping, like, my first thought was that I was hoping you were okay, that nothing bad happened. That hopefully you weren't discouraged or you decided to hang up your skates for any reason.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, there was no shame involved. I just wanted to check in. It had obviously been a while. The last text I actually sent you, which I'm a little ashamed of myself, was, you know, right as we were having our first baby and you guys were packing your moving truck, you know, like 4 years ago. And it's like, man, that just, A, time flies, but B, that just, that's a, it's kind of sad.
It is. Yeah, and it goes quick, and then you know, we all have kind of the seasons of life, but what's cool is how you can just, you know, ideally it's fun when you reconnect somebody and it feels like not much time has passed.
Yeah.
And then here, you know, here we are, and you've got, you know, more stuff going on, but I'd love to dive into it. Like, not what have you been doing the last 4 years, but more of, you know, since that time we've had, really basically two more babies, and you had your first, and now you're on your way to your second.
Yep.
Second and we've learned a lot along the way, I hope.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So yeah, tell us about yourself again. This is Logan Price, and yeah, fill us in. Tell us some of your story.
So like Zach said, I'm Logan. I am a mechanic originally, and then took the leap that we'll kind of go into more later of moving from one career to another to go into EMS. And I became an EMT, worked just a while as an EMT, and then became a paramedic during COVID season, which was, I didn't know COVID was happening. And then we went on a 2-week break and we never went back.
So you started that right when the old pandemo started?
Yeah, I started in January of 2020.
Wow.
And then, yeah, March, we were like, all right, I guess we get a spring break. And everybody's plan was to take 2 weeks off and flatten the curve and then come right back. And none of those things happened.
Mm. No, they didn't.
And, yeah, and I run a my schedule is kind of unique as a paramedic. And so I think that's it's one of the main reasons I got into it, and as well as the helping people and all that. But it affords me to be able to run a shop out of my house, and I run a small business doing car work my off days when I'm not hanging with the fam.
Mm-hmm. And what's that one that you've got over there? You said you've been working on, have it for 50 years, so give it some grace.
Yeah, it's a 1968 Land Cruiser.
Yeah. And it'll probably never be finished, will it?
It's not one that'll ever be finished. It'll always need something. but I think that's half the joy of it.
Yep.
Just the projects on it. And it was my first car in high school. Bought it in 2005 for $1,500, and it's worth significantly more than that now.
Boy, yeah. That's one of those that's done well over time.
Yep, for sure. That's aged well.
I hope that we can continue to age as well as that.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but it would be nice.
It'll be nice. So the EMT to the paramedic, running the small business, fixing the cars up, winning the best Zoom background awards. With your schedule, so tell us about, you've got one kiddo and then another one coming away, and he is about 4 years old, right?
Yep, turns four in 6 days.
So, there you go. He's about to be four. And then your wife is due when?
She is due end of June, early July.
Okay.
So
he's gonna be here quick.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast that time passes too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Up slow, and we feel like we've been waiting for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Hurry up and go.
Yep. Sure.
So, yeah. Oh, go ahead. No, please.
Oh, yeah. My schedule is unique in that I work 2 days on, and that's a 48-hour shift. And we have... I work for Somar Hood as EMS only, and so we're not affiliated with a fire department, but we work much like a fire department, where we'd have a station and beds and a kitchen and a rec room and all that kind of stuff. So we'd have some downtime, sleep when we can. So it's not usually 48 hours flat through.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have 96 hours off or 4 days off before I start my shift again. And so, family wise, it's great. We kind of went into it knowing that I would miss some things, being gone 2 days, but I'd be home for more things than I would miss.
Yeah. Is that how it's worked out?
For the most part.
Yeah.
It always feels like the dishwasher breaks, the dog gets sprayed by a skunk, the car breaks down. All those things only happen when I'm working, never when I'm home. So it's a little stressful on the wife, but she's a trooper, and she's the reason, she's the strength that I can actually go and do it.
Yeah. The dishwasher does, like, you know, it's usually when we're not there that happens. Did your dog really get sprayed by a skunk?
Yep.
Ooh.
She has been sprayed by a skunk twice. Both times I have been at work for it.
Like the beginning of your shift. Hey, I'll be back in a couple of days. It'll be fine. Yep.
One time Brie was when Brantley was still inside. And so Brie was pregnant and she was extremely nauseous then. And so the dog comes in covered in skunk and she had to deal with that. I think she had to do a phone a friend and call her mom to come help because she couldn't handle it without being sick. And so, it's always when we're gone, when I'm gone, that fit hits the shan, if you will.
Yep. The fit hits the shan. I totally resonate with that one. Absolutely. So as you've gotten into that, you're also doing search and rescue stuff too, right?
Yeah. So as part of our ambulance system, we have a division of search and rescue called Mountain Medical Response Team. And search and rescue in our area is volunteer only. And so they have an extended response time a lot of times due to the vastness of our area.
Mm-hmm.
And as a full-time paid service, we have the staff on 24 hours, 365 to respond to some of those emergencies. And so we go in with search and rescue or initially before they get there and provide medical treatment to the patient before search and rescue is able to help us with the extrication of that patient. So
it's the perfect gig for you.
Yeah, it is. I get to hike. My favorite part of it is snowmobiling. I think that's just about as much fun as you can have on the planet itself.
Snowmobiling while trying to find somebody and help them out.
Yeah. And the best part about it truly is the paid trainings and going to snowmobile for fun and get to just go play while on the clock.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good. I'll tell you what, if I get lost out there, like I almost have a couple times hunting in the past, I would be very glad to see you, especially you. Because again, you're like the MacGyver. You'd always have some kind of solution coming up, which is awesome. I'm curious in the things that you've been doing. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of hard things that you've run into kind of in that, you know, helping people out. You're going to run into stuff, especially kind of that might be scared out and about. How have the things that you've done and learned, has any of that, like you've been able to take and you're like, you know what, this has actually helped me a bunch in, you know, with being a dad?
I don't know that. It's completely different, I think. And I haven't been able to draw a lot of things across that line.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that EMS has really shown me is about my personality more of, and that has helped me become a better father and just kind of diving into that. We were talking on the phone earlier when we were setting this all up that during EMS, I have discovered that I am an introverted extrovert. So I'm kind of shy as I get to know people. I'm kind of like to be a wallflower and just kind of watch what's going on before kind of diving in and letting people in essentially, but I actually gain a lot of energy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And out of being around people and chatting with people and having a good time that I didn't realize before. I just thought I was a shy kid in the corner for a lot of years. And so as a father, I mean, Brantley and I have just made an amazing relationship, where, you know, we just kind of bro out for the most part and just chill and play. And he's at that really good age of just wanting to play all the time, and he doesn't have homework. And so we don't have to worry about the real life things for the most part, but, I've taught him to not be afraid of people, and, he will talk to anybody unless I've asked him to talk to them. That's the only caveat. If I prompt him, he shuts down real fast, but, he will go. We spend a lot of time at Napa buying parts for the business, and he will find some old guy looking at light bulbs and walk straight up to him and be like, "What are you working on today?" And that kind of, those are the things that are just completely unprompted, but it's so fun to watch, and it lights people's worlds up, that, to see just the, like, the purity of his demeanor, and that he's just interested in people and that he loves people. And so that's the main thing that I've really drawn from EMS is, a love for people. When I thought I hated people at first because I was shy, but I actually really enjoy talking to people and getting to know people and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Was he always that way? I mean, that's a good observation to realize, you know, is just about yourself. And then when you're out with him, has he always been that way, or is that a result of, you know, some of the things that you've taught him? I'm sure it's the nature versus nurture. We've got a little bit of both in there, but is that something you always saw from him?
For the most part, he's always been really friendly. But, you know, I think it's 50-50. I think it's from the nature side of things. He smiled at grandma's when he was little baby and just learning to, you know, just hanging out in the shopping cart or whatever, and waved at everybody that walked by. And I think I've just helped him. My wife and I both have helped him by not doing anything for him that he can do himself. You know, he orders his food at restaurants. And, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. And sometimes they need a little bit of an interpretation. But, you know, I just never wanted him to be afraid like I was to talk to people.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. So you realize that about yourself, and so is So I'm just now kind of putting a couple pieces together. I'm a little slow today. You have to excuse me. We had
coffee too. So
oh man, you really showed up to this thing.
I did.
I'm taking notes, brother. That is good stuff. I've got my water. That's good. So because you realize that about yourself, and you're now kind of coaching him in a different way because that's how you felt as a kiddo growing up. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I don't know that I ever noticed that I was afraid to talk to people as a kid as well. I just noticed it in my adult life.
Well, you're setting him up early, you know, at least for success and not being shy, you know, or for social engagement. I think social engagement, especially over the last couple of years, even beyond that, just interacting with people in a respectful and friendly way.
Yeah.
You know, that we could use more of that in general, I think.
It's true. And then it's not without its consequences as well. Can't hardly go anywhere without him chatting somebody up. And so sometimes takes extra time to get places.
Right.
To get to the store because he's asking what's in people's grocery carts or telling them about his day.
So yeah. How do you balance that with, you know, you get the whole, like, don't talk to strangers thing, you know, growing up, which I never really, I can't say similar to you, but I grew up pumping gas in my dad's gas station and having donuts and coffee. And yeah, I had coffee as a kid. I don't know what's going on there. You can talk to my dad about it, but across the street at this corner, cafe, small farm town in Illinois, right? And it's me, you know, 5 to 7 years old, and all the old farmers and just chatting them up. So I didn't really get much of the, you know, don't talk to strangers piece, but there's still a piece of discernment to coach on. How does that balance out?
We haven't really had to broach that subject. And it's not necessarily, now that we mention it, probably a subject to how to broach.
I guess he is four, but.
He's four. He's, you know, he's independent, but it's very structured independent time where, you know, he's in the backyard playing, he's at school, he's with his grandparents. And so we haven't really had to, he doesn't spend time. He's not that independent where he can be alone, where he would get into a dangerous situation. But now that I'm going to have to write that down and start plant that seed to be cautious.
Well, I'm not like, this isn't like throw the alarm bells up.
Right.
I know both my kiddos that are old enough to walk around and talk around are super chatty, which I love. My daughter is probably more naturally inclined to talk to other people like on her own accord and kind of be what sounds like Brantley is. There have been a couple times where it's almost so social butterfly that, you know, she will kind of wander out a little bit, and she's just turned four, and we've had to kind of bring her in and say, hey, like here's the boundaries. Like, talking to people is great. If X, Y, and Z happen, or, you know, or if said to you or something like that, what do you do, right? And it's the old, you know, get away, I don't know you kind of thing. So it's just that balance of we can't walk around fearful, but also how do we coach discernment? And especially for super social butterflies like some of them, probably like I was as a kid, but.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man.
It's a good point. And, you know, like I said, I focused really hard on don't be shy. And, you know, you could speak to adults. And, you know, we gotta have some discernment in there for him, because I'm sure he'll understand. He's pretty intellectual little Bella.
Well, he's got you and your wife as parents. I'm sure he's like, you know, like a well sharpened knife there.
I don't know about that. I feel like a rusty knife most of the time.
I don't think you'd have a rusty tool in your shop based off what I'm seeing right here.
Well, you're probably right there.
Yeah. So you learned that kind of about yourself. I'm curious, just from my own curiosity, I guess. So in our group, just a little context, in our group, there's what, dude? Probably 12 couples when we first started. Yeah,
I think that's about right. And then we had to split it up because it was getting too much to handle all at one house.
Yeah, because we went to a couple different places, but like early on, this is like over 11 years ago. Yeah, that's probably about that. And then it kind of expanded and contracted a little bit. If people came, like joined in from moving in or left. Mm-hmm. But a number of kiddos were being born during that time. And you and your wife are a little bit younger than some of us. So like you weren't in that stage yet. You had just gotten married, I think. You were always fantastic with kids. And I was curious, you know, after being around some different kids, and you have nieces and nephews too, I think, don't you?
I don't have any nieces or nephews.
Okay. Imagine that one. But when you got your own.
Yep.
How did that shift your perspective on things? Because you'd obviously been around kids, you were great with them, and now your turn came around and you're like, boom, here's my baby. What's it been like for you? Daddy Logan.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved kids, and I started volunteering. I loved kids even when I was younger. But like when I was an actual kid, but, I started volunteering in our church nursery at like 15 years old. it wasn't even something my parents were involved in. But I wanted to be in there with the babies. And so I've always been really into kids and wanted kids my whole life. And becoming a father, I just felt an amazing sense of like fulfillment, that it was just, this is what I am meant to do. It felt very natural, and not that I didn't have any learning to do or growing to do in it, but I felt like the moment Brantley arrived, that I had known him my whole life. And that's, I don't know how to describe that other than I just met this baby, holding him in my arms, and felt like I had known him my whole life.
That's awesome.
And I got a huge sense of fulfillment, and I just knew that that's what I'm supposed to do. And just to be, I kind of alluded to it, I am in an EMS for the schedule as well as helping people, and that schedule allows me to spend time with Brantley that a lot of dads don't get to, especially in the early years. And so I've tried really hard to set good boundaries to keep that going. They don't always work out, but they're there in the back, even if I mess it up.
Yeah, I mess up all the time. Just why I even have this podcast, because this is like I can learn from other people.
For sure.
Because, yeah, it's always like every day you're like, oh, okay, I'm feeling some strides. And then boom.
Something comes around and smacks you right back down to the bottom.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just that's a new learning curve.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what I've loved about the podcast. You know, I've been listening. I didn't get to listen like right as you launched, kind of saw it like maybe a month or two after. And since I work far away from my home, I have a long drive and I get to listen to it every week in the car. But, you know, that sense of community that kind of have missed out on since a lot of our group has kind of dissolved and moved around and moved back. Most of them moved back home. A lot of y'all were transplants to Colorado that we loved having you guys here, but you know, it makes absolute sense to go back to your homes and everything where you have family, and it takes a village, and we're blessed to have our village here.
Yeah.
But you know, that the podcast was, you know, it was community of, I'm not alone in this. I'm not fighting this together. And here are some tips from real men that I can trust because I trust you, to do this better. And I just feel like each time I'm listening to the podcast that we're just hanging out, doing dad talk, and I'm not even a part of it until today. And I've felt a part of it on my drives.
Yeah. I love that. We talked about that a little bit as far as the intent. I think it started like the first episode, and you know, Matt. And so, you know, it's kind of his fault how this all started years and years ago. Cause he and I were going to start that baby daddy CO2 thing. And then, you know, we just didn't, I was still traveling every week and we just didn't do it. So we were going to go for like 30 minutes, which the irony is he's probably, you know, Matt, if you are listening, you know, love you. He can talk, right? I mean, Matt's good talker. And so when he and I get together, that's where the CO2 hot air thing came from. But it was only 30 minutes long. So the intent was like, this would be a 30 minute long podcast. And just naturally an hour goes by and you're like, dang. So I just left it as an hour. I was like, I don't know if it's going to help. But on the drives, and I've heard that feedback that's like, you know, it just allows for more conversation. People can cut out when they want to cut out. But I'm glad it's helped you. And I'm even more so glad that it kind of helped be a catalyst for us reconnect, but then even more so, you said something that I've been hearing more of. And so if this is the first time listening for you and you're this far in the podcast, again, welcome. Even when you and I talked, and then I'll tell one more story. This gentleman, I don't know well, but he pinged me, I'm actually wondering if I should share this or not. And I won't say his name, but he pinged me on Instagram. Was like, "Hey, really happy to see a new episode." And so, you know, I just kind of pinged back. And there's a sentiment of, I like listening to other people's stories, but my story doesn't have much to offer. That's baloney. Like, the cool thing is, some of these stories, we all have things we've learned. We all have different stories that we've got that help equip other people and help bring that community, because hopefully, like, we're all just normal guys, that are living a life, and, it's relatable.
Yeah.
For me, like, it's not an unattainable thing, because we're all learning together. So now, my friend, you're in the hot seat.
Oh, geez.
What are, give me three things just to start. You can go more if you want, but three things that you've learned that you would equip others with, on your journey so far as dad with one and almost dad with two.
Yeah. I think a lot of being a dad teaches you a lot about yourself as well. And, like I shared, I found myself in a new job. And the way that job actually lined up is I was a dealership mechanic for years and felt like the Lord was calling me to something greater. And I've never felt like I, heard any audible, anything. I just felt drawn to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a huge leap of faith to pursue EMS, where I took like a 60% pay cut just to go do something that I wanted, that I felt led to as well, and that afforded me a different home work schedule than most people. And that was really important to me, especially in the young years of Brantley and my early years of being a dad. And my biggest first thing is, if you feel like you want to do something, if you want to make a change, just do it. We as men always seem to be able to figure it out. And just like we have figured out how to be dads as we, imperfect dads, mind you, but dads nonetheless throughout, fatherhood, we'll figure out how to do whatever we wanted to do or felt well to do. And there can be fear there and insecurity, but we've got this. And to trust your gut, even if there's fear in that.
That's a hard one. That's a good one. That's a hard one.
Yeah, it was, I did not make that decision lightly. Bree and I were really, we talked a lot about it, and we felt like that was the right decision, even though it was going to be difficult. And, through that, I had to find a way to get the bills paid. And so that's what the shop and everything is here, is paying the bills. But, I was afraid, I figured it out, and we've just been rocking it ever since. And I made a change from a job that I hated, going to work, 5 days a week, 10 hours a day on a concrete floor, bending, twisting, moving, being hard on my body and everything, to a job that certainly has its stress, but is so fulfilling. And I truly enjoyed going to work every day, and that has made me a better dad, because I'm not so angry. And I wasn't a dad when I made that switch, when I knew that I was angry. Or so.
That's a good insight to learn about yourself. And Graham asked me the other day, this was probably a couple weeks ago. We were talking, he's reading these really cool books. They're almost like graphic novel type things. They've got like King Arthur, Sherlock Holmes and the Hound of Baskervilles, and a bunch of other ones, Thor. But he brought up courage, and he's like, you know, we say it, and he's like, Dad, what does courage mean? And I don't even remember where I was reading this one, but it was a point that I had taken away that I felt like, man, I'm really glad I read that. Otherwise I'd have to define it in kind of my own words. But courage is not doing something without fear. It's doing something even with it. And I kind of butchered that paraphrasing, but it's not the absence of fear and being fearless. You can't be courageous without fear.
Yeah.
And so what I love what you said, like, you know, you had your kind of direction you want to go. You got in line and sync with Bree, you know, so that you guys were kind of working through that this is the direction that you both agreed you wanted to go down. So it's not like just, hey, today I'm going to quit my job and go peace out and we're not on the same page.
Right.
That could lead to other things. But
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, or definitely. Or maybe we'll do like a special series or something on that one. But I think it's a great reminder. And then the last couple of years has been this whole great resignation piece and different terms for it. People moving around. And you know, it's not we didn't want to jump around from thing to thing. At the same time, if you make a decision that's been thought through and you've got your plans out there and it doesn't work out, not getting caught in the mindset that we're absolutely stuck and there are no other options.
Yeah, totally.
If you're willing to put in the work, you know, you'll find a way, but that's cool, man.
And it's not a failure too. Yeah. You know, a failure doesn't mean the end of the world. You just tried something and it didn't work out. I've tried plenty of fixes on cars that didn't work out. It may be a small failure, but it's not the end of the world. Take a step back, take another look, and dive back into something to make that change a lot.
Love it. You learn something, you do it, take a step back, and then dive back in. I like that.
No.
That's cool, man. Thanks for sharing that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think my second thing that was it Eli that was on last, the most recent one that I listened to at this time.
Yep.
Yeah, he said that, I don't know, don't just be in the room, be the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some form of that has been said on every episode of just be present.
Mm-hmm.
That's something, I mean, especially with the 4-year-old, for mostly I'd seen it as a 3-year-old because he's always into being on the ground and playing and all that. And just putting the phone down at the end of the day, I put it in a different room sometimes, especially if I'm having, Brantley calls them daddy days, if mom's busy doing other stuff. I will bring my phone with me if we're going somewhere. But other than that, I try and remember to set it somewhere else and even turn the notifications off. I've got a Garmin watch that gives me a few select notifications, so I know that if somebody needs me, they can get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. But that way, I'm not always on my phone tending to every beck and call that it makes of something silly like somebody posting on the Land Cruiser forum that I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. That's not important in the moment. And just that being present and being the room, not just in the room,
mm-hmm.
has been huge. And almost came to tears on my drive the other day when Eli said that his son looked up at him and said that he forgot about him.
Mm.
And I just don't ever want to be, I'll definitely be there But if I can make every attempt to not be that because I'm looking at my phone all the time or being on my phone, then that's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a tough one. And I mean, he'll probably hear this, but I'll tell him, I'll text him after this and see, we talked about texting. I'll text him after this and let him know. He'll be stoked. That one was, that story, if I remember, I was kind of quiet because earlier on, I mean, you remember, I was gone like all the time.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of instances like that that it really resonated with me. A takeaway that I had that, you know, it's not even just the phone, but it's like all the different things is, since being back, and not doing that and having kind of a part deux opportunity with my wife and, you know, obviously my son, both my sons now, but, is also being able to be real and set some of the clear boundaries and or expectations. It's like, hey, like, you know, we have a thing that we want to do. If we say we were going to do it, then we're committing to it. Let's find a way to do it. If we know that we're not, or if it's a stretch, I would almost err on the side of, hey, right now is not the time that we'll be able to do it. Let's lay out a time for whenever, and then commit to that and stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't fall into the unset and unmet expectations where it feels like we're just abandoning. And by the way, this happens at work too. Maybe not your work. But it's another piece of, you know, if you're a leader, if anybody's listening, that's a leader of a team, or just part of a team, and there's a lot of things moving quickly, and then people bring stuff to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we don't, you know, fulfill that. I've screwed up a bunch in this realm, and I've done really well in this realm at times. When we don't commit to, when we don't execute on the things that we said we're going to do, that's a trust withdrawal.
Yeah.
And that's what I took from, you know, from Eli's stories. That's, we can see the impact of what that has for our team, our home team. Yeah. Yeah, and I want to avoid that one with you, but that's a great takeaway.
Cool. Yeah. And I've been pressed trying to, I don't know that I have a third one. I'm sure it's in there yet, but I don't have a third one right now.
Hmm.
Could turn the tables on you and ask what your top advice would be on it. So we get three on the book.
You want me to put the third one in there?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You don't have to.
I've got one. I've got the perfect
one.
Yeah. Sure. It's not necessarily about something with my kids.
Mm.
But one thing about that I've taken away from the 20 conversations that I've had that are recorded, and I've had a bunch that are not, prior to even starting this thing, which was awesome, is the collective piece of what I like about the community that's being built around the Skilled Dad and then these podcasts is that the common denominator that we all have is that we're dads. Regardless of what the story is that we've got, what kind of job we've got, where we live, you know, we're all guys living our life and we're all dads. And when we're a dad, we can understand things differently than someone that may not be, right? And one of the big components of that is like, you and I are both dads. We have a lot that we do. We have our own interests. We have life outside of just dad, like just the tactical, practical, like dadding things. There's also the man things. There's the husband things. There's all that. And even though you're not close right now, it's reminded me of a good thing is with the build the community that you want with people that have knowledge you can learn from. And in this case, like you've helped me in the past with car stuff, right? I've saved thousands of dollars because my dad happens to know mechanic work, and he's taught me. And I actually have a picture. I'm going to text you after this. I got my new tires, and they didn't tighten all of them all the way one time.
I remember that from the podcast.
Oh, did I talk about that already? Okay.
Yeah. I know that you had to do some work to it.
Yeah. We changed the first time I've ever changed an axle, broken axle on the vehicle. But this is part of the, so my tip is when you're building out your community, like have a community,
yeah.
You know, have the relationship, and then everybody's got some cool things that they can offer. And that's an important part, I think, to keep ourselves sharp is having a, like just a great group of people. It could be two people, three people, I don't know, 20 people, whatever your size is, but make sure you've got some people that you can just keep connected with. And even if it's been like 4 years, the kind of people that you can reconnect with and still just kind of pick up where you left off.
Yeah, totally.
So that's, you know, can't see it, but I'm batting that one today.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you, A, reaching out, B, listening, C, coming on and being part of this thing. It was great to catch up, and there's always so much more like we could dive into.
Sure.
But your drive's not 2 hours, so I don't know.
No.
Go back up far, but.
Well, I got an hour and a half about time, so if you need to up it a little, well, I still got time.
There,
I have a phone provider too.
Yeah, there you go. So you guys in drive time.
Yeah, but
no, I greatly appreciate it. I'm excited for baby number two. You can bring on some of the you know, things that you learn after going from one to two.
Yeah, this one's a girl, so it'll be a completely different ballgame. I hear it's a different ballgame no matter what when you go from to a new baby. I hear they always switch it up on you.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps you on your toes. Going from two to three was actually easier for us than going from one to two.
Oh, good to hear. That gives me a lot of hope here.
I almost didn't say that, but then I just gave this whole speech on like your community that cares about you, but then also tells you. So like, you know where to go. Let's talk when it happens.
Yeah.
Be good.
When I need you, I'll hit you up for sure.
I love it, dude. Well, thanks again for jumping on with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Well, hey guys, if you've made it this far into the podcast, I want to say thank you for listening to Logan and I's discussion. And there's always so much more under the hood that we could dive into with him. But yeah, that's a sweet dad joke right there. But hey, if you want more information, you can go to theskilleddad.com. You can also follow us on the socials, which Logan doesn't have, and I love that. I appreciate that about him. That is one of those distractors that we can take. But you can follow us on the socials at @skilleddad. But most importantly, we hope that you take something away from Logan's story. And if you really want to help, you can share, if you think of somebody else, share the Skilled Dad podcast with them. That might benefit from Logan's story or other stories that we've got up to this point. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can go to skilleddad.com and fill out the form, send us some info, or you can just email me at zach@skilleddad.com. But most importantly, we hope that you take something away from this story that you can apply to your life on becoming the skilled dad. We look forward to seeing you next time. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.